Woo! Man, love it, love it, love it. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Man, 1 hour Saturday show, especially everybody driving around listening and even thinking about, you know what, if you're in the garage, you know, hiding out from whatever family member it is you like to hide out, and you're in the garage, you got that radio on. Well, guess what? You found Busted Pencils, Tim, Johnny, and Jacob. It's 1 hour. What is Busted Pencils? Well, just sit back and we're going to show you a lot. But guess what? Public education, democracy, all those things. We talk about your neighbor. Because, well, you know what? Your neighbor knows a lot of things. And we like to make sure that your neighbor is always even more informed. Where do you get your information from? Hopefully, you're going to be continuing to get your information from Busted Pencils. Because, hey, guess what? We are trusted? I don't know. Yeah, I think we're incredibly trustworthy. I mean, if you could see us right now on the YouTubes, you would say, of course I trust those guys. They have great hair on their faces.
Tim, I'm glad you're bringing this up, because I don't think I definitely have been referred to as trustworthy and a trusting kind of person. But yeah. I would say at a glance, I've gotten feedback that I'm the opposite. People kind of turn and go the other way when they see the tall bearded bald guy coming. So, you know, I think you gotta engage, right? You gotta show with your actions that you're a trustworthy person. Just like when we're talking about media and things, right? Trustworthiness, so important. Yeah. And I love, Tim, that you dropped some Beastie Boys lyrics there. I think that's a theme in this show, right? Where you get your information from, boy? And then we go, boom.
We got it.
More Jacob. Beastie Boys, more good information, more trustworthiness. Don't look at Tim and Johnny. That's why we're on the radio.
And though, got to remind people, you got to fight for your right to party too. That was what in 1987, Sigma Pi fraternity at Greek Week Sing, we sang, you got to fight for your right to party. Because when you're a fraternity brother at a small state university, fighting for your right to party was probably one of the key political functions that we did as a fraternity, which is, you know, how I'm now here in this position. No, you guys think about this, right? You know, we've had lots of conversations.
He partied his way right into Busted Pencils.
Partied right in. But we've had so many conversations, you know, the implications of politics on education, because they just go together. I know right now it's like, oh, are they talking politics in school? We're not allowed to do that. Well, it's kind of hard to be part of particularly a public education if we're not embedding politics. And the push to curb diversity, equity, and inclusion, particularly from public schools, has, you know, we've talked about it, whether it's in Florida, whether it's in Ohio, whether it's in Wisconsin, lots of pushes to get rid of diversity, equity, and inclusion, however you define that. So many people, again, go back to all of our other shows if you really want to deep dive on DEI. But with that, though, the implications, did you know what you were getting in the package you thought you were buying? This is going to one of those again. Did you know? Well, in Ohio, Senate Bill 1, and before I left Ohio, we were talking about this as being, uh-oh, if this thing becomes law, it's going to be a real problem, particularly for colleges, because this was, as we said, it came across as going, well, if you teach anything diversity, equity, and inclusion, you know, the state troopers or the state people are going to come after you. Well, once you got past all of that and you didn't look deeply into the law, Senate Bill 1 also said, hey, if you've got low enrollments in programs over a certain number of years and you're a public college, You have to cut those programs. And that is now the reality. People went, wait, I thought this was a DEI law. No, it was also a low enrollment law. If you have low enrollment, you have to get rid of your programs. And if you're a student in those programs, oh my goodness, what does that mean? Well, with every kind of you can always look for someone else to go, but hey, we see you. And so coming out of my home state, Pennsylvania, and in fact, Pittsburgh, Point Park University, a private university, to help Ohio students hit by university program cuts. And that's right, a new transfer scholarship. It's called the Buckeye Fresh Start Scholarship. Will support displaced Ohio students through additional funds and academic assistance. This is going to all of those Buckeye students in those programs across, I think it's University of Akron, Kent State are the first ones to announce program closures, and Point Park, and everybody's going, geographically, where is that? Hey, it's less than an hour across the border. Point Park has said, guess what? We got a scholarship for those students. And if you want to finish your major, come see us. Johnny, lots to unpack in this, but really looking at, to me, this is one of those, oh, I didn't know that is what the law meant moments to me, because I actually have I know a lot of people in Ohio, and guess what? And I'll even say I was part of the fray that was so caught up in the DEI, anti-democracy, anti-free speech problems that was in Senate Bill 1, that I didn't look either to see that, oh, low enrolled programs have to be cut. I didn't know that was the package, but right now there are lots of people in Ohio saying, wait a minute, we didn't know about that. And there are people now, well, Point Park University in Pittsburgh, saying, well, great, guess what? We'll take you, though.
Tim, I got some questions about that. We got a minute here before we go to break. I got clarifying questions to ask.
Go for it.
Well, I think this makes a lot of sense, and it might be shocking that I hate this side, but I mean, if something's not selling well, and I hate, remember, I'm a big, big enemy of let's introduce the market economic model into education, especially public education, but higher education is fully immersed itself into a market economy here in the United States. You know, it's a product. You're paying for services, whether that be like getting an education or, you know, being taught or whatever you want to call a program or degree. It's immersed into the market. And then, so it would make sense to me that if I have a product that I'm selling that's not selling, then I would stop stocking that product, right? And of course, it might still be available somewhere else, but it just doesn't make economic sense for me to do that. Just like if I have something on my menu when I'm at a restaurant that just people aren't ordering, or even worse, coming to sit down in my restaurant, right? Then I've got to make some changes. So I get some of this. But I do think there's like a political agenda attached to what gets closed. That might be why it's kind of attached to like DEI kind of conversations. Mm-hmm. But the question I have after that, Tim, is what's happening? Do Ohio institutions not do what most other institutions of higher ed do in terms of when a student files a program of study, declares a major? That's a contract between the provider and the student that they will be able to, at the minimum, finish out their program. Now, that finish out could be put into some scare quotes, because we've all seen like finish out kind of means like, well, you know, we're going to do the best we can to get you those classes that were part of that program, but we're dismantling it. So many of the professors may be leaving. And, you know, and your classmates may not be coming. So the experience might really change for students. But I was wondering, you know, in closures of programs, colleges have an obligation under, like, you know, file a program of study or a declaring a major that they will complete out at least that. So it might be like, hey, it's going into closure. Mm-hmm. So no new enrollment for that. And let's phase it out. Is that not, is it just, cause I'm kind of trying to understand in Ohio, are they just cutting these and being like, forget all that old, like, ethical responsibility to the student stuff. We're not serving this program anymore.
Whew, man, that's deep. Now we're into the politics of higher education within.
Here's the thing. I'm going to cut you off because everything is political. You're driving me crazy saying this is political, but this isn't. If you're making a decision or you're having a conversation that involves anybody but yourself, and actually I would argue even including just yourself, so you talk to you, right? It's political. Everything is political. You're either, you know, in favor of the kings and the queens or the serfs on the other side of the wall. It's all political.
So I'm slightly worried now because I was thinking my one uncle who's not going to be at Thanksgiving, it was going to be a good one this year. But now you're saying I'm going to have to do battle with myself at Thanksgiving. And so now I'm.
Man, you might be battling with yourself before Thanksgiving.
No. Okay. Yeah. Some of those are in place still there that they need to finish out, but they have to be in either their senior year in that program for that new.
So at a certain, they have to be far enough in. That makes sense.
You know, and so they're going to finish those students out. In fact, my daughter at WVU had that happen in a lot of the programs she's in. She's in wildlife studies. Wildlife studies wasn't cut, but a lot of the programs in her college, particularly dealing with parks and park service and things. And yeah, hey, we're going to let you finish, but all the faculty left and the courses we're going to let you take in place aren't really courses, but we're going to let you count them towards graduation. So you have that. And, you know, but for those seniors, it's kind of like, okay, well, crap, I need to do it. But for students in their junior or sophomore years, they can change majors or, whoa, look over there across the border, $15,000 merit scholarships to transfer to Point Park University. Now, Johnny, yeah, there's a mixture here of going, hey, Point Park's just saying, you know what? We're just going to be we're going to jump into this market and say we got a product.
That, yeah. Sounds like market economics at its finest.
You know, but I mean, there's a lot here, SB1, but just so you know, yes. Where are we at? University of Akron, Corrosion Engineering, Fire Prevention Technology, Dance, Theater Arts, Anthropology, Natural Sciences, Humanities. That's a list of some of the programs that are going away. If that frightens you to hear that those are some of the programs, you're thinking, wait a minute, Corrosion Studies? How could they get rid of Corrosion Studies? Well,
in the Rust Belt.
It's a Rust Belt. Well, we're not rusty, but it's busted pencils. Fully leaded. We'll be right back. Yeah, we're back. Feeling a little corrosive right now. Tim, Johnny, and Jacob, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education. If you just joined in and you're like, corrosive, what the heck are they talking about? Hey, in Ohio, SB1, be careful what you voted for because it's now the law of the land. Majors that have less than 5 students over a 3-year period, those majors have to be cut. One of those majors was corrosion studies. I know people are sitting there going, well, who even knew that was a major? Needs to be cut. But, you know, and we know Market and Point Park, yeah, holy crap, jumping up and going, hey, you know what? We got something to sell and we're going to jump into the market. Don't really want to get into the economic conversation as much as I want to ask a question to Jacob and Johnny. You know, it's easy to pick on corrosion engineering technology and go, well, duh, get rid of it if there's no students. But when you start to look at some of the others, isn't there a point where higher education is also about serving our human rights, our democratic values, preparing us to be citizens in a democracy? And so sometimes we might look at a, you know, for example, at University of Akron, the a bachelor's degree in humanities. Am I weird to be thinking that that's just a major that we should always be offering because it has such just a value in and of itself of what it stands for, and that it is preparation for civic participation, for life in a democracy? And if you're willing to say, well, you know what, we've got, it didn't say no enrollment, low enrollment. Well, low enrollment, you know, must be that this stuff isn't worth studying. Or I ask the question and go, really, the humanities, is that also a potentially anti-democratic move to say those are the kinds of things we actually are, you know, behind the diversity, equity, and inclusion? Yeah, we want to get rid of those thinking disciplines because those are the kinds of majors that create people that go out and ask questions. And the last thing we want in a democracy is people who ask questions. Being sarcastic, Johnny. Being sarcastic. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's where I look at this and say, at some point, a public higher education institution, of which all these Ohio institutions are, shouldn't there also be a mandate that at a minimum, here are majors that serve our citizens, and these are majors that never go away because of our commitment to democracy, of citizenship, of just learning to cooperate and live in harmony with each other.
John, I'm going to let Jacob go.
I want to hear Jacob.
Because you served up a lot, and I got to figure out where to jump in. Jacob, what do you think about this, man?
Well, I think it is a lot of things that Tim said, but I've evaluated them rapidly, and I'm ready to give my my ill-considered response. Tim, I got to say, when Plato created the Academy, he was not just teaching how to go work at Wall Street. He had more things in mind to teach people. And when you look at a society and a civilization and a country, you don't judge them in the past based just on the economic values of that country. You look at, you know, whatever it is. You want to go back to the Belle Epoque in France in the 19th century. You look at these countries also based on their cultural achievements, their artistic achievements, all these things. And some of that isn't necessarily about making money. And if we're going to measure our country against other countries, I think part of that is in how well do we do at educating people to think? How well do we do to educate people to create art, to do new things, to have new philosophical ideas? When we reduce everything down to the ledger, I think we lose out on a lot. And if we're going to try to fool ourselves, I think we really are putting ourselves in a position of ignorance to imagine that, oh, all these other generations, money wasn't a problem. They back when they were funding art and they were funding philosophy, they just had no money problems whatsoever. No, it's always a tough thing, but in the past, it seems like we valued it a bit more than people are today. Or maybe I'm being naive when I say that, Tim. Would you say that it's always a struggle to weigh these things, and we're always fighting for these programs, and someone's always going to be trying to trim the fat?
Trim the fat. Jacob, man, you are a man who navigates the Chinese buffet like no man I've ever met before. Tim, he serves up the Chinese buffet. By the way, listeners, that's one of my favorite places to go eat. If you're not, especially talking about Ohio, Midwest guy here, love Michigan, where I come from. And man, one of my favorite places to go is the Chinese buffet. There's always one close by. And man, they serve everything, and I can never decide what I want to eat. So I can go up, and I'm always like, oh, so much stuff. What do I want? Jacob just slayed it on that, man. He can navigate the Chinese buffet. Tim, I agree with what Jacob's saying here. You know, the point and purpose of higher education, especially of public higher education, but even of private, it's still element of that is public education that's just less accessible. It's more tailored towards the wealthy, right? But it has a history rooted in, you know, the roots of democracy, the sharing of ideas, the, you know, bringing together efforts to find truth, to help us be better together. So, you know, this idea of marketizing it, cutting it up, chopping it up, and canceling things gets to be a bit of a problem. I'll dive more into my portions of the Chinese buffet when we come back, Tim, because I have some thoughts about this as well.
Well, okay, so is it going to be orange beef or General Tso's chicken? We'll see when Busted Bezels gets back. I just feel like marching and banging my head every time that music comes back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the boards, me, Dr. Tim Slecker. Oh, higher education, Senate Bill 1, diversity, equity, and inclusion, low enrolled programs, the humanities, democracy. Johnny, you talked about serving up a Chinese buffet of all kinds of different offerings here today and trying to make sense. In other words, communicating to the listener that Tim's a bit of an ADHD disorganized mess.
No, you're the Chinese buffet, man. I love the Chinese buffet. But so do our listeners. That's why they tune in.
There's a lot here, and we kind of left it at saying that at higher education's mission, while yes, is to quote, you know, prepare students for the ability to work in industries that are paying wages. But it's also the mission of higher education is it's not just vocational training. It is preparation for living life for us here in America, a democracy of knowing what it is to be a citizen, to grapple with uncertainty. And you know, a lot of these majors that are being affected by SB1, well, yeah, maybe corrosion studies, maybe there's not so much job work or work around figuring out why things are rusting. But, you know, the humanities, and I just think about this as being at some point, doesn't the state, in this case, the state of Ohio, shouldn't they be just plain valuing majors that might not have, I don't know, economic viability, but my God, have civic society viability. And for that purpose alone, you'd say, hey, our mission as a public institution of higher education is to keep democracy going. We're going to keep this major open. Maybe I'm just not really too marketized on this Saturday. Johnny, Jacob, Johnny.
Well, Tim, oh man, I get what you're saying. I come back to this though, and I'm split because in big theory, I'm like, this is wonderful. We have, you know, this goal of producing democratic citizens and the humanities and whatnot all contributes to this well-roundedness. The other half of me is a little bit of a wake-up call. It's like, college, wake up. Like, this is something that, like you don't need to go to college to become a good citizen.
Oh.
You don't need to go to college to learn to practice good democratic values. the idea that to be successful, you need to be at college, or that college is some magic silver bullet into a better society, is elitist, right? And I love this, and I work in higher ed. Right? I mean, so that's what I'm saying. I'm really torn. So I get into this, and so that's one beef I have with the whole thing. The other one is, like, we can be a little less about that, and you can also learn your humanities, and you can be part of any program at a college university. And the university can market it better and just serve its customers better. Mm. Like, if you don't have butts and seats, that's not the content's problem. That's not the president's problem. That's not the political agenda. That's your failure to put butts in seats. Ooh. Also, we talked about a few things, Tim. I'm being a little harsh. It's, you know, it's Saturday, though. We're in our weekend suits. I'm wearing my fart catchers. Let's talk about this being like the whole point of education is to, you know, I think need to come down a notch. That's not me saying education isn't important. It's just saying that, like, there is a lot of ways, like, the things that the humanities bring, people that ask questions, like learning to be creative. This is stuff that, you know, doesn't necessarily need to be enclosed into only higher ed, but for some reason, people in higher ed are like, what's going to happen to society if we cancel these programs? No one's going to be creative. It's like, they might actually be more creative because we're doing a pretty poor. That's the best replacement word I can have for the few bad words that popped into my head. But the poor job we're doing at keeping buns in seats. Now, the other thing you did bring up a week ago, though, Tim, I think is really important to matter, is there are just less buns to put in the seats.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so there are other factors. But sometimes turn the lens inward. And listeners, that's why, I mean, I'm being pretty harsh on higher education right now. But I'm all, like, it's two sides of a coin, right? It's how I make my living, too. It's part of being in higher education and understanding that sometimes, when a program ends, it's because we haven't done the job to connect it to career, to make it worth the investment. Remember, the cost is extraordinary, right? Oh, no, I'm getting beeped out. I'm getting beeped out this show for sure. Okay, that goes with everything anyways. Jacob will take care of that. So you hear some beeps today. My apologies, listeners. I'm usually much more G-rated, and today I'm FCC non-compliant. Right, but that's all right.
You're at a hockey rink on right now, Johnny. I know there's sometimes bad words said in a hockey rink.
And my favorite fart catcher. Right? So, no, man, for people out there, those are sweatpants, and us, you know what I'm talking about, listener. Anyways, you know, we come back around to this, though, Tim. I think about this a lot. How do we really balance the education we give in higher education, just like any K-12 educator is talking about too, where we aren't separating out the humanities. We aren't, you know, having to worry about which degree is more important than the other. We do the hard work of figuring out how we can map to career something and include and infuse in that if you're becoming a plumber, you also probably like to read, or you like to watch films, or there's a humanities aspect to nearly every career. So I get really upset with sometimes my peers, myself included, when I fall into this trap. We start to be like, well, what happens if I want to major in poetry? Well, then you probably can choose that, but it's not going to, like, if the purpose for you being in college is to get a job at the end of this, you may not get a job as a poet. Now, that's not me arguing to close down poetry classes or programs, or for students not to major in that. Because what I do know is that industry highly seeks out creatives, people who have these skills. So I am going to be hard on higher ed. It is the failure of higher ed to connect the dots between real work experience and what companies and all kinds of people hiring are looking for to your degree, and to seeing those connections to all those different degrees. Because I promise you, corrosion studies right? Right. With the degree you talked about in engineering is incredibly important. If we can connect it to other things that industry is seeking, you'll fill seats. It is part of our job, maybe not the actual teachers, but part of higher ed's job as a company to fill seats. Mm. And in failure to connect those dots, you do see programs that are struggling where they're at to see themselves in those careers, right? I'm almost saying we need to call back to the Renaissance. Actually, Tim, like as a blue collar scholar myself, right? A musician, a creative, all these things, my peers are some of the smartest people I know, but they identify as not smart because they didn't go through school programs. Mm. They also read books, make music, do art, all these kinds of things, but they don't necessarily identify themselves as like successful academically.
So in other words, this, yeah, you're saying you have friends who are poets who don't know it.
They know it. They just resist the fact that like, why would I go pay $100,000?
Yeah.
To do what I learned to do from people who do it in a really democratic way. And that's what I'm going to come back around to this. If we're talking about democracy really opening, life openly, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, popular sovereignty, patriotism, right, trust, equality, diversity, all these things, higher ed has taken up the agenda of enclosing things.
I agree with you on that.
And then elevating the status of it so that it could become a higher sought after commodity. And yeah. I'm also a big fan of higher ed. I just don't like how it's positioned and enclosed in a distant access and with what is it called? Cultural capital.
Yeah.
That we could say, I mean, you know, like you said, my friend's a poet, but doesn't know it. No, they know it. They just knew they also needed to be a plumber and that they liked and could do both things without the $80,000 in debt.
No, I get it. Now, I got to say, though, at the end of one of these articles coming out of cleveland.com, just to kind of bring this, and Johnny, this is specifically for you, just to remind people, SB1 in Ohio requires schools to generally and all diversity, equity, and inclusion training, departments, and scholarships. Professors must post online all syllabi for the public to inspect. Schools cannot endorse or oppose any controversial belief or policy on climate policies, electoral politics, foreign policy, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, immigration policy, marriage or abortion, the bill states. But Johnny, a quote from your favorite institution, because not only is Pennsylvania in on this, but in Michigan, quote, at EMU, you're free to be you. That's an Eastern Michigan University ad that's running right now that also includes, and this is running in Ohio, you are free to be you, and there are no out-of-state tuition fees. So,
yeah, I was just going to say, Tim, a lot of Ohio kids just go a little north of the border up into, you know, that Michigan state. We always, you know, we always joke about Ohio being down below Michigan. But lots of Ohio students that come up to Eastern already. So again, Tim, the market, like it's low hanging fruit, man. That sounds also, Tim, like way beyond our conversation today.
Yeah.
The part that you just read is such like, it's such policy overreach.
Yeah. It's,
it is the most, it is in every way we talk about education, public education being a foundation of democracy where we practice it and learn it. But Tim, you know, when you share what that bill puts into practice, it's fundamentally anti-democratic, right? I love the sharing syllabi. I love the openness of it, but then it starts to ban certain things, which reeks of authoritarianism, which is, you know, not even akin. It is fascist in nature. So it's very, you know, anti-democratic. And I think that's where you were starting us today. And it took me almost an entire hour to get there because I stopped at the buffet so many times in my sweatpants. I'm losing my mind. It's a weekend, folks. Thanks for listening.
Man, so much. Johnny Lupinacci. Man, if people could only see those fart pants. No, we're not going to show them when we get back. Busted Pencils, when we get back. Yeah, it's dancing time. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Education talk, educated. Educators talking education. Yeah, like I said, if you're out in that workshop and as Johnny says, your fart pants, you're dancing a little bit right now.
Shaking, the old man calls them fart pants.
Shaking those out and leaving them there for some poor unsuspecting visitor that's coming in behind you. Busted Pencils. My goodness, where did we go today? Oh, Senate Bill 1 in Ohio mandates that colleges, public institutions do away with programs that aren't enrolling students. Some colleges, well, Point Park specifically across the border in Pennsylvania said, we'll take you. But then Johnny got to the real big point there, though, too, when we really look at Senate Bill 1, the anti-democratic aspect of it is schools. So this is, again, cannot endorse or oppose. You can't endorse anything controversial. You can't oppose anything controversial. I'm not sure where that would leave anything. I'm not allowed to want controversy, and I'm also, if I see controversy, I can't oppose it. I'm not exactly sure how that will be handled if anybody is ever found in violation of that ordinance of the law. But man, a lot here. Yeah, kind of trying to come back to this though and say, you know, so what is it? How do, and bring it, I'm going to try to bring this all the way back. How is it that a bill becomes a law? Well,
let's get Schoolhouse Rock going.
I was
going
to say, just pull out Schoolhouse Rock and take a look, because, you know, it starts out as one thing, and what ends up being delivered and put forth, maybe sometimes, you know, you'll never. Okay, I'm reading the comments.
I'm just a bill, and Saudi Arabia donated to the crypto fund, and now right. I'm heading up to...
You know, it's funny. We should bring that back up, because actually, if you listen to it, it actually shows the complexity of what happens in that process. Yeah, I mean, it really does. It takes a lot. So
it's been a while for me.
The simplicity, but what gets buried a lot of times is all of the things where you go, but I didn't know. In fact, you'll hear politicians and legislators, even now on the big, beautiful bill, some Republicans are going, I didn't even know that was in there.
True.
But you voted for it. So again, it's a little bit sometimes of going like, wow, how did that happen? Hey, that's a democracy in America. And these are some of those things. So what do you do? Well, it's what we try to do here every Saturday and actually on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, too, when the podcasts are dropped. We're trying to make sure that you're informed, that you're out there, that you hear about these things, that you get to a sense of going like, wow, I'm surprised that happened. But not to hear this is going, well, I guess we just have to deal with it. Well, you kind of do, but now that you know, you're also a member of a democracy, and you too now have the opportunity to become an active citizen and kind of make known your dissatisfaction. And even if you get more people behind you, maybe it is time to say, that was a dumb idea. And guess what? There are lots of dumb ideas. And if you want to get rid of a dumb idea, get a dumber idea and get a lot of people behind you, and then you can replace it. No, actually get a smarter one. I just think this is how, you know, again, what did we get? It's not exactly what we wanted. Okay, well, then let's go back and let's fix it. In fact, maybe on this one, doing away with under enrollment really isn't the problem. And really, the real problem is coming back to what we just pointed out. All of the mandates about things that you can and cannot say. Is that really you standing there in your workshop or driving around in your car? Is that really what you wanted? Is that for people to go to college and be told, don't ask that question, don't think about that, to have faculty saying, you can't read this, I'm not going to share that with you? Is that really, really what we want from higher education, from any education, particularly public education?
Tim, I think the president needs to get involved, because you can't say controversial things about climate change or immigration. He won't be able to say anything at a school in Ohio.
Right. Well, because you can't say anything controversial about controversy. And with that, well, you know, love and busting pencils. But now it's time for your moment of zen. The wealth of the country is being stolen from the people and handed over to the super rich.
Well, thank you for listening to today's broadcast. And if you want more Busted Pencils podcast, just head on over to Apple, Spotify. You can always get at us at civicmedia.com or on our website, bustedpencils.com. Remember, you can find great Busted Pencils content every Monday for homeroom, Wednesdays for class and session, and on Fridays for producer Jacob's Choice. And of course, Pencil Busters. Just like today, you can tune in on Saturdays and listen to the Busted Pencils weekend broadcast, 3 p.m. Central Time, across all the Civic Media networks for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny. They keep Busted Pencils.